Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7 minutes past 8 o'clock, Fellowship Friday on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Our last show before the new year. In studio with me, Ben Fredrickson of the Writer's Block, which will be launched in the new year. We look forward to that. Jay Randolph Jr., always a pleasure to see him. And, of course, Plowsy, Iggy, and Sea Monster. Tim would say on the ones and twos.
Sneaky Vile.
He is Sneaky Vile back there. He changed. You know what time it is? It's time for our Picks of the Week.
You are looking live at a sold-out Memorial Stadium in Columbia.
These are the Wheelhouse Downtown Picks of the Week.
I got the best player in the league. I'm looking pretty sweet. Head in the football!
Wheelhouse is the local college football and NFL headquarters in St. Louis. 32-ounce big beers with 30 flavors to choose from and a large, from-scratch menu. The best nachos in town, served by an even greater staff. They're easily accessible. Take the 11th Street exit off Highway 40. Contact us and book your watch party at parties@wheelhousestl.com. Now, here are your picks of the week.
And as Tim would say, it's always a pony at the Wheelhouse. Joining us now, Jared from the Wheelhouse as we make our picks. And I don't keep track of this stuff, Jared, but each week when Tim is here, he points out the fact that you're doing quite well with this.
I have been doing pretty well. I think the last 2 weeks I might be having a little bit of a late season meltdown, but hopefully I can get back on track this week.
I'm not so great with the picks, but Ben, Fred, and Jay might not know that my locks of the week, I haven't missed one in going on 8 years now. So
8 years?
Yeah, 8 years. So if you have...
No way.
No, it's true. And if you have some disposable income or some money tucked under the mattress, what I'm saying, take the rent money, take the mortgage money, get the money from the mattress, and bet on my lock of the week, because 8 straight years, it's the most sure thing you can get in all of the wagering world. All right, we'll start with Washington at Alabama. Jared, which way are you going?
Bama getting 13.5, and I'm taking Bama. I think they're going to run away with this one pretty easily.
Ben, Fred, what say you?
I don't disagree. I don't bet against Nick Saban. It's a rule of principle for myself.
Jay,
if you look statistically,
we don't do that on this show.
Well, then I'm taking Alabama. I was going to try and make a case. I was going to try and make a case for Washington.
Wrong
Jay,
show.
You're right though. They match up pretty well.
I mean, they match up pretty well. I mean, but
they're going to get crushed.
They're probably going to get crushed. I'll make it. I'll continue the theme. Roll Tide -13.5.
Iggy, you taking out? Do you pick in these? I don't know, Iggy, but you're here.
I don't pick, but I'm doing pretty well in my bowl game. So yeah, take Alabama. I'll probably tease it down to 2 with 3 other games, but Alabama -13.
Yeah, I would tease it down to 2 if I knew what that meant. I'm not a big
no doubt.
But
Jared,
I will say that
Jared knows what I'm talking about.
If memory serves, I haven't picked against Alabama once, and I think I've won every Alabama choice. So I'm going Alabama. Next game, Ohio State -3 against Clemson.
I like the Buckeyes. They're getting 3. They got a little bit of a better defense, and they run the ball better, so hopefully that'll come to game. So I'm taking the Buckeyes.
I will take as much
well,
as
you
I...
You are out of order, sir.
Yeah, he's
Ben
fired,
well,
he's fired up
go.
About this one. I'm going to go...
There was a pause.
I'm going to go Ohio State as well. Although I like Dabo Swinney, I think Urban Meyer is he's pretty good, and I don't feel good about betting against him either.
And as much as I hate to take Clemson as a South Carolina alum, I am going to go with Clemson. I think that they are poised and ready. I think being in the environment out in Arizona will be good for them. I will take the Clemson Tigers as much as I hate to.
Now, usually for these games, I do a ton of research and check the metrics on each game. Now, I'm going to go with Clemson, and here's why. Charlie Marlow was in here for 3 days, and every day he wore that oversized Ohio State ball cap. And it annoys me, so I'm picking Clemson just for that reason alone. All right, NFL, Cardinals -6.5 against the Rams, Jared?
I can't even believe the Rams are taking the field this weekend after losing to the Niners last week, so I'm taking the Cardinals.
Yeah, have to. I mean, their last chance to have a winnable game was that game against the 49ers that they found a way to lose last week. I think the Cardinals haven't had the season they wanted, but Bruce Arians, he's going to take an opportunity to beat up on the Rams. He hates the Rams, and similar to what Pete Carroll did, I can see this one getting ugly.
I hope it gets ugly. I hope it gets real ugly. I will take the Cardinals minus 6.5.
I believe that the Rams will lose this game by 80. So I'm going
to
go ahead.
How is it 6.5? I don't understand that. They're trying to get people to put money on this one.
Hey, I'm pretty sure that Brian Hoffman listens on his way in. Can I ask Brian for a favor? If San Francisco loses this week, their final game, that means they will go 2-14, and their only two victories of the year against the Rams. Has there ever been a team in the NFL that has only won two games the entire season, and they've both been against the same team?
All right, Brian, you have your assignment.
You're on the clock.
We won't ask anyone associated with this show because we don't know stuff.
I'm not going to ask Sea Monster to do work for me.
Our next game, Patriots minus 9.5 against the Dolphins. What do you say, Jared?
No, this is a tough one. You know, the Dolphins, I think, are going on the road no matter what, whether they win or lose. Patriots, I think, can clinch home field advantage. I think they'll be fired up. They're going to head into the playoffs strong with a convincing victory. So I'm taking the Patriots.
I'll go Pats. I don't understand how it works, but these guys lose guys like Gronk and just find some guy that we've never heard of and put him right in their place. And then Tom Brady gets even more pissed off because he thinks everybody's doubting him, and he goes out and has an incredible game. Tom Brady is going to lead him back. He's making a case for MVP. I'll take the Patriots.
I think the Patriots will win, but I don't think they'll cover. I'll take the Fins plus 9.5.
The Dolphins, surprisingly good. I agree with you, Jay. I would take the Patriots to win, but I'll take the Dolphins to beat the spread. Next game, Packers minus 3 at the Lions. Jared.
Packers are getting hot. Aaron Rodgers is making a late season run for MVP, so I'm taking the Packers.
Agree there. I'll go Packers minus 3. The Lions are they're fading fast. They're a little broken, and Aaron Rodgers is doing what he always does, which was lead this team back after we tried to write him off.
I'll follow suit. Packers minus 3.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I hearken back when Rodgers said relax, and then they continued to play poorly, but somehow they pulled it together. So I'm taking the Packers as well. Jared, Panthers at the Bucks. Bucks minus 5.
This is a tough one. You know, the Panthers have had a strange season unfold. I think the Bucks are obviously playing pretty hard and strong still, so I'm going to take the Bucks in this one.
I'm going to go Panthers here because Cam Newton had that video this week where he went and hugged that sick kid, and the kid jumped up and, like, the terminally ill kid with cancer. I mean, Cam Newton, say what you want about
him.
That
was a real hug.
The league hates him. I love him. I'm going to go, with the Panthers.
I agree. Saw that story on ESPN. Great story.
I got to go to Bucks. It's been said already, it's been a weird year for the Panthers. Hard to believe they're 6-9. I will take the Bucks, even though they're given 5.
Last time I saw an embrace like that, I think it was Doug and Deke Dotem. But that was a long, long time ago. Based on the video, I'm going Panthers as well. All right, Jared, what is your lock of the week?
So I studied this for about 2.5 minutes.
Yep.
And we got the Ravens at the Bengals. The Bengals are favored by 1. Looking into it, apparently the Bengals are going to be sitting some of their top players. I'm not even sure who they are. But the Ravens, from what I can tell, are going to go after this victory and finish with a winning season here. So I'm taking the Ravens plus 1.
I'm going to go back to the place I was before I came back to St. Louis, Tennessee. Tennessee is playing Nebraska in the Music City Bowl today. I'll go Tennessee minus 6 over Nebraska. Nebraska's starting quarterback is out. Butch Jones is trying to hold on to his job. The Vols will be motivated. They're notorious for winning bowl games over Big Ten opponents.
I haven't looked at the line, Cat, but I'm going to take the Florida Gators in their bowl game against the Iowa Hawkeyes. I'll go Florida, whatever the spread is.
I try not to be critical of my peers ever on the radio, but I think those are all cowardly picks. The game that everyone's talking about that you guys are steering away from is obviously the Arizona Bowl. South Alabama and Air Force. Air Force minus 13.5. I'm going Air Force. I'm saying give the point. It's a triple option. You know, it's a great, it's a banner year for South Alabama because they beat an SEC team.
Listen,
they beat a ranked team, okay? So everyone's on the bandwagon. Air Force with that triple option, you don't see that regularly. You're not going to know which way to go.
I can't get on board with Troy Calhoun, man. I think he's an odd guy. I can't pull for the Air Force. Does that sound bad to say I can't pull for Air Force?
Well,
my God.
If I knew any of their players, like I would disagree with you. But what I always do is make up some stuff. But I did find out they run the triple option.
I watched Air Force and Navy play, and they had zero passing yards between both of them. One incomplete pass the entire game.
They do run the ball.
Hey, Jared, you guys got anything special going on New Year's Eve, or what do you got cooking?
Oh, man, giant weekend. Obviously, we're kicking off tonight with a Blues game, and then tomorrow we got our brunch. We got the alumni game at 1:30. We got the playoff college football games going on all day. And then we got New Year's Eve. We got all our big event sold out, and should be a pretty big night. And then our New Year's Day brunch on Sunday, which pretty much is kind of a repeat of the night before. Gets pretty wild in here, and we kind of party like it'll be 2017, kicking it off strong. And then we roll right into the Winter Classic, and of course, the entire weekend we'll have a pony show. But I want to bring some attention to the group that never gets called out here, which is the all the fine looking young gentlemen, all the Mustangs. We talk about the ponies all the time, but we got to recognize all the handsome fellas that come around here too.
Well, Tim has an eye for that, and he's not here today, so that's probably what. I will say this though, and I know we've touched on it before, Jared, but I drive by the wheelhouse a lot when I'm going to the ballpark, what have you, and it always looks like that's a place for cools. I always felt like, unless it was a station event, if I walked in there on a Saturday night, like everyone would look at me like, "Sir, you don't belong here. You need to leave."
I can't tell me how many times have you left Busch Stadium after a game. You're going home. You see the wheelhouse is bumping. You think, "Man, I'm doing this wrong. I'm going home." Everybody's been gone for hours. The wheelhouse is packed. There are beautiful people coming in and out, and you're going home thinking something's. I'm doing it wrong.
So I think you got to come in. You got to come check it out. We got to do some bottle service.
Yeah,
we got to get up in that VIP. We just added another section directly next to the DJ booth. I think it's calling your name.
I do like how there is the VIP section where you can look down on the peasants. That's a strong play.
I would not be in the VIP. That's not for regional cable types. That's for big celebrities. Jared, thanks. Happy New Year to you and yours. And I know it's going to be a big stretch for you guys at the wheelhouse.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Happy New Year to all of you guys as well. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You got it, Jared. That's the picks of the week with our friend Jared from the wheelhouse.
Is Rousey fighting this weekend?
Too? Yeah, tonight.
Tonight?
Yep.
I got to find a place to watch it.
Yep.
Who's she fighting?
She's fighting the champion.
Now you sound like Doug. Of course, I'm not going to insult you by saying the name.
No, she Latin gal.
Yeah, Doug. You sound like Doug.
No, I do. So I mean, Nunez is her name. Amanda Nunez.
Did she beat who? She beat Holly Holm.
Did she beat Holm? It's changed two or three times since Holm beat Rousey. But I got to tell you, Ronda Rousey looked as cut and as determined as I've ever seen her in the weigh-in. Now, that could be show. She did not talk at the weigh-in. And I can't believe I'm doing a riff on the UFC.
No. I'm actually a fan. It's not like I'm watching it, or buying the pay-per-views, but I do watch it when it's on free TV.
Right.
I like boxing. To me, this is like, There's an elements of boxing, and I'm a fan. I don't know all the names and all the players. But I will say this: I know Ronda Rousey. I don't know any of the other
females
that she fights.
Right.
And it seems like the UFC needs Ronda Rousey.
Well,
they got
They got that dude Cyborg who still wrestles, I think.
Ronda Rousey, this is a huge fight for her because it's either probably going to be the end or the remodeling of Ronda Rousey for the next year or two. She'll either step away if she gets beat by Nunez, or she'll probably have a decent run. But I just don't know how long she wants to continue to fight.
Yeah, she's got too many things. She's kind of like Gaga,
yeah,
who doesn't even care about music anymore. All she's doing is movies and TV.
Well, she's doing that bar tour, right?
That was four stops before the album was released. She's done with that now.
Oh,
she's
okay,
doing a movie with Bradley Cooper, a remake, the fourth remake of A Star Is Born. They start filming in January.
It's all Gaga with you. We were talking Rousey.
And Rousey is going to take Patrick Swayze's part in Roadhouse.
In Roadhouse.
So she's got a movie coming out.
Is this
out,
her first fight back since she kind of had the breakdown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is okay.
Yeah, that's why
she's big, because she was depressed and she had the the whole thing?
Yeah, I'm pulling for her because, and then like, so she kind of leaves the stage, right? And then everyone's like, oh, she wasn't any good anyway. Yeah. And this is my question, because I do find this fascinating, and I don't know enough about the sport to say that this is accurate.
Right.
But I've seen in the past, like, the last unbeatable guy in the UFC that was a huge star was Chuck Liddell, right? And then...
Well, there's been more since then.
No, but just hear me out. Here's my point. But he was a guy you couldn't beat. I know the sport has evolved, and I know there's other guys like Spider Silva had a long winning streak, you know, so I'm not totally... unfamiliar with it. But Liddell was like that unbeatable guy, and then he lost, and then he could never win again.
Right.
And I wonder if you're that person that has that mystique, like Rousey was, you know,
unbeatable,
and then she lost. Do you lose something in the transition?
I think what'll be interesting is Holly Holm became the aggressor in that fight, and by doing it, she eliminated the opportunity for Rousey to go to the ground in that fight. I think this will be a different situation where Ronda will probably come out early, try and set the tone, and maybe get Nunes to the ground. But I think it's going to be... There's also some good fights on the undercard. Johnny Hendricks is on there. You've also got Cruz, TJ Dillashaw. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll be locked in tonight.
Let me ask you, because I think she's attractive.
Yeah.
But I'm very shallow.
I know you are.
I'm not sure I could bang her because of the cauliflower ear. That would get in my way. I think if Ronda came into the studio and said, "Hey, bowler guy, I'd like to take a run at you," you'd be okay. The cauliflower ear would get to me.
I think you'd get over it pretty quick.
You can get that fixed.
And put some earmuffs on it, maybe.
There's a surgery you can do, a whole thing.
Yeah. She doesn't seem to care.
Do you like the UFC, Ben?
No, I don't dislike it. I watch it if I'm at a party and somebody's tuning into a game, I'll sit there and
but
watch
only
it.
At a party.
I don't pay per view it. I don't follow it.
But there are free events, and those aren't the main deals.
I'm not like anti UFC. Like, oh, it's cool. I mean, it's making a ton of money. There's obviously it's popular. I don't follow it, but I'll get in on it.
Kat and I grew up in an era where you could, on a Saturday afternoon, watch Ray Leonard fight.
Amen.
You had Tommy the Hitman Hearns. You had Roberto Duran. You had the end of Ali into Larry Holmes.
You even had, like, Vinny Pazienza on TV.
Yeah. I mean, you had so many good fighters, and they were personalities. And then it just went bad. And to me, that's the one thing I've said for years and years, is that my son would never, ever get to enjoy prize fighting like Kat and I did, because young people now, 18 to 25, they got no clue what that was like.
It was an event.
Yeah. And it was also before the pay-per-view. I mean, you'd have a big fight, and there was a thing, Ben, called closed circuit. I mean, people would go to the Kiel Center to watch a big screen, right, Iggy? I mean, you had closed circuit events. And I remember the first pay-per-view was one of the first pay-per-views was Cooney and Holmes. And
I was there for that, by the way, in Atlantic City.
Yeah, I mean, boxing was so much better, and that's why I like watching some of the HBO look backs on fighters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a whole different thing, and to me, UFC is much more exciting, and you've got the personalities, whether you like them or not, at least they're showing a little bit of themselves.
I've said all along about boxing, I am the sweet scientist, by the way.
No, I know you like it.
But there's... People don't know anymore because boxing is a shadow of what it used to be.
Yeah.
But even in
St. Like
Louis, where we had the Corey Spinks fight here, the electricity in the arena for a championship fight, if it's a heavyweight championship fight, and I've been at World Series, hockey playoffs, Super Bowl, you name it, the electricity in the air for a championship fight, like a mega fight.
Right before it's getting ready to go down, yep.
Unlike anything I've ever felt. And I have buddies of mine that never had been to a boxing event. And even the Corey Spinks thing, which was, you know, big for St. Louis, but was just a blip on the radar boxing-wise, they were like, now I know what you were talking about, the electricity in the air for that.
When I was an intern at the paper, it was when Devin Alexander was fighting. I think it was like Lucas Matisse. And I went and helped cover it for the paper, and I sat next to the guys at the paper who'd been there a long time, and you know, all I heard from them was just like, hey, you know, this is fine and all, but you'll never know what it was like to cover a big boxing match. I mean, just because it, like you said, it's just it's disappeared. It's never going to be the same. But like covering those things used to be an event. I mean, you sit there, you could have cigar smoke would be going up. It was it's kind of like horse racing in that it's, I think it's going to be hard for people under a certain age to ever really understand what it was.
Yep. And weird thing is that boxing's wounds were all self-inflicted. I think the promoters trying to monopolize it with the splinter groups.
Promoters murdering people.
Don King a couple.
WBC, IBC,
the alphabet soup of champions and too many divisions, you know, weight-wise, too. The more you cut up the pie, the thinking was the more divisions, the more championships, the more you can market and promote.
More money.
But people don't know who the champions are. And then you need a heavyweight champ or at least a contender from the United States. And that would help in this country, and we haven't really seen.
Well, there'll also be people who don't get in on. You won't give UFC a chance because of the fact that people are getting their brains beat in.
Yeah,
I mean that's the part of it too.
The brutality is a big part of
the NFL. The NFL is going to have to deal with that too. Yeah. It's not going to happen in our lifetime, probably, but it's going to get to the point where you're already starting to see participation numbers in youth football decrease because parents are having a hard time sending their kids out there when they know what concussions can do.
Well, and
that's
going to
be something they got to figure out too. Or I don't know if they can figure out. The sport will suffer.
What they have done, it's a lot different than the initial start to the UFC. Some of the rules that have been put in place.
It used to be a tough man event.
Yeah, I mean,
he used to wear shoes in the ring.
It used to be kill the guy. Yeah.
To me, though, as a boxing fan, like I appreciate the technique in UFC where people are like, oh, it's a blood sport. And I with the ground and pound, you see that, and you see a guy's face turn crimson.
Yep.
I get why people shy away from it. But then you see, like, some of the submission holds.
The jiu-jitsu.
Which are, like, brilliant. Like, yep. And it's not like they're making up stuff. Like, the announcers will be like, oh, he's got his back. He's flattened him. Like, it's all textbook stuff that these guys have learned. It's kind of brilliant.
Yeah, there is a science to that. I mean, they have shown that the tough guy can no longer necessarily be the best in the UFC. That's why I think this fight with Rousey and Nunes is going to be so interesting, to see where Rousey's at, to see what her mindset is. How much does she want to continue to fight in the UFC, as Iggy said, with all the endeavors? But I'll tell you what, at that weigh-in, she was cut and she looked mean.
Now, Conor McGregor is a guy who a lot of people are fascinated by, and I think he's the perfect personality.
He's a nut. He's a complete nut.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
But and then I see on Twitter, I don't follow this stuff that closely, like he seriously wants to challenge Floyd Mayweather, or is that just look at me? Is that real?
I think it was hype. I think they're looking.
Because he will get killed.
Well,
right.
I will say this. I interviewed Conor McGregor at the Super Bowl 2 or 3 years ago, and I mean,
hot shots, hot takes,
every
though.
Other word, not that as anybody that knows me knows, I'm not opposed to cussing. I have a daughter that's a great cusser that I appreciate.
You must be proud.
I'm very proud. But this Conor McGregor, I mean, he makes a sailor look calm. This guy cussed the whole time. He's a nut. I mean, he is a crazy man. But the bottom line is, he believes in himself. I don't see him ever fighting Floyd Mayweather unless the money is so big that both of them got to do it.
He will get killed. See, here's my take on this, and you know better than me.
If it's straight boxing, he gets killed.
Well, that's what they're talking about. The guys at box are the best in the world, and Floyd Mayweather, you talk about great fighters can't lay a glove on him.
Right.
Great fighters cannot lay he has fast hands and you can't hit him. That's why he's been the champ for a long time and no one can get near him. Now you take a guy from the UFC who is trained in a number of different disciplines in terms of, you know, martial arts, there's some box, but basically an amateur boxer.
Correct.
If that's how it, you know, if that's what the rules
compared
were,
to what a prize fighter
he
would be.
He would get knocked out quick, even by Floyd Mayweather, who doesn't really like to mix it up.
Well, then let me go back to a debate that was had on a program here, the six pack or whatever it's called in the afternoon, the line change. They talked about TJ Moe, and I got my own feelings on him, but
we'll save that for another day.
But they talked
about, are you killing TJ Moe?
Not again. No, I'm going to leave him alone. The only thing I said was I don't trust a guy that's never had sex. Amanda Nunes, and that's 25. That's 25. I want to say 25. If you're 24 and you haven't had sex, that's all right. Keep working on it. Amanda Nunes, I mean,
you are a beauty, sir.
That Ronda Rousey and that TJ could beat Ronda Rousey. No, I'm sorry. TJ Moe could not beat Ronda Rousey.
I agree with that.
I mean, he's a football player and all that and had a cup of coffee in the league, but he couldn't beat
Ronda
Rousey.
How much does she weigh?
I don't care if she weighed a buck 05.
Well, that matters.
Once she hits or kicks him, it doesn't matter anyway.
What about someone like Cam, who part of his training included mixed?
That's a different story.
He's just too big.
See, Cam. The deal with Cam is he's sick too. He's a nut. So you know he'll take a punch and keep on kicking. I'm just saying, if TJ gets kicked or punched by Rhonda, it's good night, Irene.
That's an interesting debate because. All right, so I wrestled in high school, right? And occasionally,
you want to take on Rousey?
No.
Charlie Marlowe played baseball at Bradley, but go ahead.
Occasionally, you'd come
Chris
up.
Chris Raby coming up.
You come up. This is going to be an embarrassing story. You'd come up against a girl in your weight class.
And would you?
It was
back in the day.
It was obviously embarrassing, but
sure.
And you usually win, it's because you were so much like denser.
You're denser.
Your body type is different. That's why I wonder. Unless she would have to knock TJ out.
I played in adult league basketball league, and the other team had a point
guard. At the J or where?
He doesn't want to say the league, all right?
This is in Delaware.
Back in the day.
When I was in shape and played a lot of basketball. And this woman had played legitimately in the WNBA and was sort of their ringer. And I was
Jackie
like,
Styles?
And I can't remember her name.
Great
but it wasn't Jackie.
Rebecca
it wasn't
Lobo.
Jackie Styles, but it was someone who I went back and checked, and she was legit.
She was legit.
And I was like, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to rain jump shots over you. And I was talking like, you know, I was just playing, and she scored 40 points on me, and it wasn't even a contest. Like, she was also, like, elbowing me and giving me the business. I was like, ma'am, that hurts. And every time I call her ma'am, she would just drive by me and score. I do want to tell you about KFNS and InsideSTL.com listener rewards. Support the sponsors and save. A brand new deal. The Gateway Fighting Series live professional kickboxing is coming to Chaffetz Arena on January 7th. Pick up a pair of tickets in the second row or on the floor for 50% off only from KFNS listener rewards. And soccer fans, you can still get a 5-ticket St. Louis Ambush Flex Pack for just $5 per ticket. Log on to InsideSTL.com and click on listener rewards and do it. Today, let's go to the phone lines. Our buddy from KMOX, Chris Raby, joins us. I know he's been all over the preparations for the Winter Classic. I don't have any notes while you're on, but it is a Fellowship Friday, Chris, and I'm glad you're with us.
Yeah, Seymour texted me yesterday, and I figured he just didn't want to make up another mini exit poll. So, happy to be with you guys and thrilled that all roads lead back to could TJ Moe beat Ronda Rousey in a fight.
What do you think?
Isn't that crazy?
I have much.
She would drop him in 6 seconds.
Thank you, Chris.
Now TJ. TJ is a physical specimen, and his point is because my thing is you don't even know about submission holds or kicks. He said it doesn't matter. She would never get close to me.
Wrong.
See, I think that I disagree. I think the punching would be what he would have to worry about. I think the submission holds would be
he would be strong enough physically in order that
she wouldn't be able to choke him out. She wouldn't be able to break his arm. I think though he would survive in that, but I think she might be able to knock him out with a properly placed kick.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think that if you're talking like a male boxer in like a different weight class, that's different, but if you're just a dude, even if you've been an athlete and even if you're a football player, if you don't know how to like take a punch or a kick or defend yourself, I think you'd have some real trouble.
You know, to make that happen, I think we could all pool our money and maybe come up with 800,000, maybe a million, and pay these guys. We could do that in, a day or two? We start a GoFundMe account.
Couldn't Raby do a poll on like Sports Open Line? Could TJ Moe beat up Ronda Rousey?
So what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about the Cardinals and how apparently the front office doesn't care about winning? Or do you want to talk about the Blues and what they have to do with Shattenkirk? Or do you want to talk about Lipscomb?
Oh, boy. I saw that, Ben Fred, I saw this morning that you wrote about Mizzou. I've not sunk my teeth into that column yet. I already care so little about regular season college basketball that it's hard for me to drum up a lot of outrage about Mizzou. But I think now the reason I care is wondering what they do with Kim Anderson and how things will possibly unfold the rest of the season. I'll ask Ben. I mean, at this point, I don't know if you can fire the guy right now for financial and recruiting reasons, but this is like even worse than I think some of us thought this season may have gone. This is, it's like, it's past embarrassing to the point now of, I don't even know how you can claim that you're even fielding a team moving forward with what you put out there and can even convince people to show up at the games, much less come and play for the program.
Yeah, I think that will ultimately be the reason they have to make a change here when they have no one attending games. I mean, people, you'll run into people who tell you that they think Kim Anderson can still get this done, but those people aren't buying tickets, and that's ultimately what has to decide it. I agree with you, and I think that's worth discussing is like, okay, so clearly Kim Anderson, it's not going to work, right? I think most of us seem to think that, but also factor in how bad this situation is beyond that. Mm. So Mizzou's going to have to go out and try to, if they decide to make a move now, they got to go out and try to find a coach. Well, every good coach is going to be wanting to coach through the tournament this year. You also have the fact that Kim Anderson is already the lowest paid coach in the SEC. So what are you going to show to somebody that you're going to pay enough to get him to come in and do a complete rebuild as this team is already hemorrhaging talent? And then you got to throw in the fact that, oh, by the way, there's still this NCAA concern about this tutor who may or may not have been doing schoolwork for players. So a coach, any coach worth his salt is going to have a lot of questions about that, and that's not going to be resolved anytime soon. So it's a bad spot.
Well, and tell me this, too. This is in the middle of you're trying to raise all this money for a football facility. And, like, I understand that football and basketball are different, but if you're asking donors and boosters to step up even more than they have been, and you're trying to raise millions and millions and millions of dollars and move forward and build this thing for football, it doesn't help that the basketball program sucks.
Yeah. if there's a bright spot here, it's that Jim Stirk knows hoops. I mean, he came from San Diego State. The Aztecs are a proud program there. He didn't hire Steve Fisher out there, but he kept him. And that's worth, you know, that's worth complimenting, the fact that he continued to extend him and gave him the facilities he needed in order to stay at SDSU. So he's been in basketball circles. He's been on major committees. He knows what it takes to have a successful basketball program. And one of his big tests will be to try to figure out a way to bring this thing back to life. I know it's the SEC. I know it's not a basketball conference. But, I mean, you don't want to be the worst Division I college basketball team in the country. That's not something you want to have on your resume.
Chris Raby with us. You know him from I'm trying to reset. I mean, you host Open Line. I think you'd give me a wide berth.
The one thing I hate is when people like tweet out pictures of Mizzou Arena right before tip off at like 11 a.m. on a Saturday, because I don't think anybody was going to those games like 10 years ago student wise when they were like, when I was at Mizzou, nobody went to games and they had the new building open. So you got to figure out how to get the people that were going to games 5 or 10 years ago back going to games. Sorry, Kat.
Chris, are the Cardinals getting Dozier? What are your sources telling you?
Hey, another nice piece by Ben Fred on that a couple of days ago. Where did that come from? Was that just like an MLB trade rumors thing? I know that we've talked all winter, and Jim, you and I have talked to people with the Cardinals and then have talked, you know, amongst each other and people in the industry, how much the Cardinals like Colton Wong, like the control and like the stability that he could bring to them defensively and maybe athletically in the lineup, which is, I know, something they've really focused on. So, you know, to me, I think the ask for Dozier, considered what it's taken to get guys in the trade market and get guys with power and get guys like him who are controllable over the next few years, what that price has been in the trade market, I think, A, it would cost the Cardinals a lot for, yeah, an upgrade, but maybe not an upgrade in the areas they're lacking. And B, you know, I'm not saying that Colton Wong is going to start the All-Star game at second base next year, but, like, they've been pretty on the record in saying, like, he needs to play. They signed into the extension last year. And if they want to get better defensively, if they want to get better maybe on base paths, like, I think Colton Wong's a big part of that, and you're going to have to stick with him like Grichuk last year in the second half of the season, almost better for worse. So I was surprised when I saw that, and, yeah, we've heard over the last 24 hours or so maybe that was kind of the Twins trying to drum up a little bit more interest or trying to raise the price a little bit maybe, and it was an agent like we so often see, but you know, I think Colton Wong is going to be a big part of the team this year and moving forward. I think that's a good thing for the Cardinals for a variety of reasons. And, you know, that's why I was surprised to see that pick up so much steam on what was that Monday evening, I guess.
You know, tell me, and I like Dozier, but, you know, he's a right-handed bat. He doesn't have a huge resume as a cleanup hitter. So there are a couple things that make him not a great fit for the Cardinals. And you talk about the price of making a trade and the prospects you'd have to give up. I wasn't sure if it was true or not. I had no firsthand knowledge. But I do know how things like this get around is if you're an agent trying to promote your player and, you know, GMs call and talk to an agent about a full roster of players so that sometimes out of politeness they say, all right, where are you at with this guy? Next thing you know, Cardinals are asking about this guy. That's how it comes out. Or a team that's trying to drum up the price. You know, teams do their due diligence. They go, all right, where are you on this guy? And next thing you know, oh, the Cardinals are in on this guy. That's how those things get out.
Well, there's also a commonly understood thing that the Cardinals are one of the teams that doesn't talk about this kind of stuff. I mean, Mo just doesn't do it. His circle's tight. Some teams leak stuff. Some teams like to get out the names of guys they're going after. Use the Cardinals, it's almost like if a name gets out there, then it means it's not happening. That's kind of the way it goes. I think agents, other teams have learned that if you leak the Cardinals' name out there, a.k.a. Justin Turner, that oftentimes it will get play without the Cardinals shooting it down. So the Cardinals are oftentimes associated with guys that are the agents are trying to draw interest to because the Cardinals don't come out and say, look, we have no interest in this guy. This is false. Other than maybe they called and checked in on, like they do a ton of players, just doing due diligence. So I think if you're an agent trying to draw up interest in your guy, throw the Cardinals' name out there because you know that no one's going to tell you it's not true.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, and then one guy reports a tidbit, and then the tidbit becomes
fact. That's what's crazy is like, so there was a radio, it's a guy who does a radio show and TV in Minneapolis. He sent it out, and then all of a sudden it just went boom. It's like if it's like a tweet, and all of a sudden it turns into a story, and then it becomes to the point where like we're sitting here in St. Louis, and it's like, okay, this doesn't make sense, but everyone's asking you about it. So at some point you have to say, well, this is out here, and this is why it doesn't make sense, and it's like, is that helping or hurting? I mean, we can go. I don't want to go down the journalism rabbit hole here.
I wouldn't know anything about it.
What are you talking about?
But it's something. No, it's something that Derek talks about. Is like, at what point do you acknowledge something that you don't think is true, because you're and try to disprove it? Right. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer there
is. Well, Ben, Fred, you and Derek do real journalism. What Jim and I do is sit in the press box at Busch Stadium
and tweet
and try to come up with funny tweets. So listen, what if I'm reading between the lines right now? Guys, I'm thinking that maybe Ben Fred's wanting Jim and I to collaborate and start a little rumor. And maybe we can get folks headed down that rabbit hole. Jim, let's pick an obscure player, maybe someone who's not even in the big leagues
Big
anymore.
Poppy.
Nick Stavanoa. We had him on yesterday. Nick Stavanoa making a return to the Cardinals.
Could there be mutual interest? ... Question mark.
By legit journalism.
...
Yeah, by legit journalism, you mean I'll make a slideshow. Should the Cardinals be interested?
Should they? So
I'm so tired of having to click through the ads and the slideshows. I love you, man.
Hey, man, buy a subscription, damn it.
Gotta do something.
The Winter Classic is coming up, and the forecast, last I looked, doesn't look great, that there's, you know, possibly warmer temps and
so
rain.
What does that mean, Kat? Does that mean they're going to play at night? They're going to play
well,
next day?
It was in the Post-Dispatch. I didn't click on it because I'm not getting a subscription.
Right.
But there is a story.
He didn't want to do the survey.
But there is a story, right, that says that the league officials say if there is bad weather, they can play it on Tuesday.
They will basically, my understanding, and Chris, you probably have a better sense of this than I do. I just read Dan Caesar's story, but he said that they will postpone it. They'll postpone it to the point. They'll try to play it that day. If worse comes to worse, they would play it the next day.
Yeah, yesterday, like, kind of the sentiment from the league, from Chris King, who's done a lot of these outdoor games, is, you know, we prepare for these, and we've done 19 of them, and we've seen almost every scenario. And, you know, while he says they can play through rain, light rain, it was actually a pretty awesome quote. He said, I can freeze rain. While they can play through some rain, obviously safety is what's most important. And I don't know. I don't even really bother looking at the forecast anymore. It's like during baseball season. It changes so much. If it rains, it rains. And, you know, from a broadcast side, Fox Sports Midwest plays old videos of Pat Paris while we have to sit in our studio and actually fill content. So
I will say this, that you call it content. Other people might call it something else, but nice.
Come on, Raby. Who doesn't want to see the Matt Holliday, Albert Pujols golf tournament 45 times?
Are we killing Fox Sports Midwest?
It's a roast.
No, that's a good point.
Pot him down. Pot him down.
But we, you know, we kind of prepare like the league does. And, you know, yesterday my sense was, you know, they want to try to play this, and TV is kind of king. But, you know, at some point, if the weather is bad and then safety is an issue, they'll wait. And, yeah, again, while they wouldn't say yesterday if that meant that they'll wait all day and play that night, you know, I think kind of everything's in play because they have to get this game in. But I think kind of the takeaway, and people that ask me, people that are coming into town, and you know, are they going to play, or is there going to be a delay, or is the game going to be canceled? Like, they're going to play the game, I believe. And I think that, like, you know, Chris King said yesterday, they've dealt with every scenario. They've had rain, they've had snow, they've had sun that has caused a delay, like on a beautiful sunny day, the blinding glare off the ice that hasn't allowed them to play. So, yeah, I guess the weather looks bad, but if there's a delay, there's a delay. And, you know, at some point they're going to get this game in, and it'll be pretty cool regardless of when they play it.
Our buddy Chris Raby from KMOX talking a little Winter Classic with us. Chris, by the way, great follow on Twitter, at C Raby, H-R-A-B-E. You know, watching your tweets.
I tweeted the same picture that everyone tweeted of the ice yesterday. So
But
I
like
your angle the best, though.
No, he got his on 2 seconds ahead of the crowd, nice. So he broke that story.
Although he did not include today at the office. I mean, he really missed out the best lead-in for it, so I was disappointed in that.
But I want people who actually sit at offices to start tweeting me pictures from their cubicle, view from the office.
Well, if you're,
it's always nice when a media member tweets like today, some jackass at the Peach Bowl will tweet his his plate of food and the field while Alabama and Washington do their media availability. View from the office today while people actually sit in their offices.
It's like the guy who might put a media credential in his rearview mirror hanging up there. Just to let everyone know you're a media member. I'm saying if someone had done that. But I will say, though, watching the transformation of Busch Stadium is pretty cool. What, you're down there all the time. I haven't been covering this. What's the coolest thing you've seen about the transformation of Busch Stadium into what will be the mecca of hockey?
Well, like, we've all seen the pictures, and again, view from the office, pictures like from the press box over the last few days, but yesterday was the first time that I went down onto the field and was standing there, and the coolest thing I saw was they brought out Jake Allen and Paul Stastny, and they did a little media availability and stuff, but before that, they just had about 10 minutes to walk out of the Cardinals dugout, you know, and up onto where the field would be, kind of cross over where first base would be, and then walk up to the rink. And they both, their eyes were both so big. And I think that they finally realized that this is here. And it's a really cool thing for the city. And I know we joke about the weather being terrible and maybe they won't come back here and play this game, but the NHL is really, really excited about this venue. You know, we heard yesterday that it was the fastest they've sold one of these games out, and I think everyone's excited about the reports that it's going to generate $18.5 million for the city of St. Louis. And, you know, just to see the excitement from the players yesterday, that they're really proud as Blues and as St. Louisans now to have this game here, it's a really, really, really big deal. I remember being in Chicago right after I graduated from Mizzou when they had the first one, and it was the Blackhawks and the Red Wings, the first one or one of the first ones at Wrigley Field, and it was a huge deal then, and it's a huge deal for whatever city gets this. And just to be down there yesterday and to see the ballpark and the job the Cardinals have done with that, and to see the view, you know, with Ballpark Village and the arch behind a Busch Stadium, and now that hockey rink built up, and, you know, the partnership between the Blues and the Cardinals. You know, I know that there's been some rough sports and some rough non-sports issues that the city has dealt with over the last 3 or 4 years, but this is something everybody should be really, really, really proud of. And I felt that yesterday as someone who's lived in St. Louis for the last few years, and I got really excited about the magnitude of the game. And you know what? Even if we have to sit around on Monday for 2 or 3 hours, you know, we'll break out the Albert Pujols golf tournament tape and play that over the Blues radio network and just wait to start the game.
Because, well, we couldn't afford one of those long form Kyle McClellan interviews. That's why we run that. Just so you know, the texters appreciate you, and they are sending in pictures of the view from their office today. So they are doing that. Last thing before we let you go, Chris, you have a guy you work with that's going to play in the alumni game. Kelly Chase, our guy Bernie Federko, and Darren Pang are going to be in it. I'm concerned that these gentlemen could break a hip.
Well, I don't know if they've gotten into better or worse shape, depending on who you ask during their practice sessions. I will say this. Chaser, who is down between the benches for us during all the Blues broadcasts, right next to Darren Pang, they'll take pucks. They'll have stuff flying at them. They'll be in the line of fire. And he told us the other night that he took a slash during the game. He took a stick to his hand and started to swell up. But he said, you know, there is zero chance that I could have a broken hand. He could probably have a broken foot, and I think he'd still be out there playing. I'm just, again, it goes with the pride of being in the city. And, you know, I think it's something special in St. Louis. And, Jim, you know, and you guys know as much as anyone, how hard all of those guys in the alumni group work and work for stuff around the Blues, work, you know, around the city, around the community. And they are as much a part of that club as anyone. So it makes sense that they're all going to kind of kick things off in the alumni game. And I was podcasting your show last week as I was driving back to Chicago, and I thought Chaser had a really interesting point when he said that, you know, to him, Bobby Plager would be kind of his personality of the year. And with all that's gone on around the 50th anniversary of the team and having Bobby, you know, introduce Barrett Jackman, who announced his retirement earlier this year, introducing him at the Jack Buck Awards at the MAC, to be on the bench for the alumni game, to then in a couple of weeks or a month or whenever it is, have his jersey retired at Scottrade. I think it's fitting that Bobby's going to be down there on the ice and is going to be a part of this and is going to be the guy coaching all of the alumni, you know, that are out there playing on Saturday, because it's just, you know, an event that I think perfectly kind of embodies the spirit of the club and the spirit of what those guys mean to the city and why so many of those guys, whether they're from St. Louis or not, have chosen to live and work in this city. So, yeah, I'm really excited for the alumni game. I hope everybody makes it out in one piece. Claves is going to be down at the ice kind of interviewing some guys and getting some stories from them, because he knows those guys as well as anyone. So I'm really excited, and I don't think weather's going to be an issue on Saturday, so it should be a fun afternoon.
You, sir, are a gentleman and a delight to have on the program with us on a Fellowship Friday and the Ryan Kelly Morning After.
Always always glad to get the call. And Jay, great to talk to you, buddy.
You got it, my man, and give my best to Clay.
Wait, Iggy has something.
I just want to say, tell our buddy Dave Klein we said hello.
We miss him. Dave Klein of Hedonism.
I will. Thanks, guys.
You got it, Chris.
See you, Raves.
You know, the interesting thing, he brings up the weather. They don't have a roof at Busch Stadium, but if they needed one, they would go to Lakeside Roofing.
Well, sure.
Lakeside Roofing has been family-owned for more than 40 years. Their philosophy includes a relentless commitment to customer service and quality products. If you need a roof or you need roof repair, check out our friends at Lakeside Roofing. That was a Charlie Marlowe homage right there, because that's the way he would transition.
Great segue.
Segue. I am excited for this game. I am not going to attend personally, based on the fact that they wanted me to pay for a ticket.
One of the listeners probably has an extra ticket and would take you as a guest.
I was going to take my son, and then it didn't seem like that he was
it worth.
I don't
really
know if you'd want your son hanging out with really the listeners. Won't work.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, you saw a price of the tickets and said, Tyler, we're watching at home.
No,
I don't blame you.
If I was going to do that, then I wanted to make sure he was, you know, really committed. And back then we thought, you know, what if it's freezing cold? What if the seats aren't? So we thought best to watch this.
It has been amazing for me to see how many people are fired. I mean, that have locked in their tickets, that are fired up. What's going on downtown with some of the ancillary events? It is awesome, and it's a celebration of 50 years. I hope it all works out well. I hope the weather, isn't a factor, and they could do it. But it is, as Chris said, it's really great for the city when you think about $18 million coming into the community with all the problems we've had with losing the Rams. This is a nice showcase for the town, and it's great for the hockey fan.
And it's a wonderful spectacle. I mean, I watch that every year. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a different perspective. Even if you're watching it on TV, it looks great. When it's snowing, it's even better. I wish that they had a real rink under the arch instead of the plastic one.
Are you guys going to get involved in the media skate at all? You going to go down there and log a couple laps?
I did that one time for Kelly Chase, who had some sort of fundraiser celebrity game. And I can barely skate, and I flopped around for a few minutes and made more of a fool of myself than I do every day on this show.
Hockman says he can't skate. We were trying to decide who the worst skater at the station would be.
Can Gardner skate?
Well, Gardner played in some pickup hockey, against some high school kids once and got laid out. I don't think he's been back on the ice since, but I believe he can move around.
I don't skate. I will admit I'm not a skater.
I would probably be the best skater.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I played hockey my whole life.
And you're friends with...
You played your whole life. I've known you since 92. I never knew you played hockey.
A lot of things about
how
me.
Often, how often are we talking? Like once a year? Or like you go like...
Oh, I would play once a night in leagues. We play in a midnight league at Brentwood Rink.
When did you stop playing?
Probably 5 years ago.
Look, you learned something new.
I didn't know.
Come on.
What do you mean come on?
You mean like in 2002 you were playing hockey on Tuesday nights?
I don't know if it was Tuesday nights. It was, I think, a Saturday night at midnight we played.
This is all new to me. I've known you since 1990.
I rollerblade. You know I rollerblade, too?
I knew you rollerbladed.
Who's your figure skating buddy?
Ty?
No, the gentleman. Babylon.
Oh, Johnny Weir?
Scott Johnny Hamilton? Weir. Oh. He's friends with Johnny. Do we have that drop?
Johnny Weir?
Johnny Lode. Yeah.
We should have it.
Now I'm not sure. I'm not sure my.
I wonder what.
I'm not sure my Bowers.
Your hockey pros.
Adding up.
I'm not sure my Bowers fit anymore. But
I'm just trying to illuminate the situation.
I understand.
All right.
I played a media thing with Claves one time. I think he had double runners. Hell, I'm straight. Oh, no. And I would go out with you.
I'm just so beyond honored that I've got a date with you coming up.
Just illuminating.
I was
the situation.
At that hockey. You do skate. I was at the hockey game on the bench right by where Kevin had gotten kicked.
Did Claves have double runners on? I think he had double runners.
Is that like what kids use?
Two blades, because your ankles are weak, so you just get skates with two blades on them.
Calling Claves out.
Did he really?
I
thought he was like a good hockey player.
He is a good hockey player.
He is a good player?
Yes.
I thought he had double runners on.
He's a good player.
Wow.
We're killing everyone today.
I'm not killing them. If you have weak ankles, why not get double runners? But nowadays, even if you can't skate, you probably, even if you have weak ankles, the skates made nowadays are so expensive and so built in that...
You think it's easier to skate now?
It's so wrapped around your ankle that you can't bend your ankles.
What's the best kind of skate for guys with cankles?
Oh,
well, you just got to get bigger size.
Big Berthas. And are you going to take a shot at Kyle McClellan like I did since we're killing everyone at KMOX?
No, where's he working these days?
KMOX.
Still at KMOX?
Sort of. I mean, he's sort of there. All right, we got to take a break. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Bruce Affleck joins us. He is a former Blues defenseman. Broadcaster, now an executive vice president, and he'll tell us more about the Winter Classic. Yes,
Jeff? I just wanted to remind people, coming up at 10 o'clock, the real program, Frank Cusimano. He's got Darren Pang today at the Urban Chestnut Brewery, right?
Okay. And Frank won't have to speak.
No, he just let Panger go.
Hey, Panger, boom.
Boom.
Show over.
Get that number from offense.
Should have booked him for this one. All right.
Putting line that up.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more of the Ryan Kelly Morning After.